Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I guess today, first of all, before John heads out, I wanted to say thank you to our new pastors here, John and Evan. Evan, who's not here. And just, they're doing such a great job leading the church. Everyone think so? Yeah? I think you guys are doing an awesome job. So, I guess I'm basically going to be talking about harvest time today. So if you look around, it's harvest time. It's harvest time in the natural, and it's harvest time in the spiritual. And even literally today is harvest time because it's warm today, and it's going to be snowing tomorrow. So all of you gardeners, be pulling in all of your what's left in the garden. We were working on that a little bit yesterday. Hate to see the warm weather go, but it's harvest time. So basically, I want to briefly mention that I just recently launched my ministry, that God's been talking to me about this for some time, and he gave me the name for it, which is Faith, Grace, Harvest. It's three simple but mighty words, and basically he's been speaking to me about the meaning of this, and it's been kind of growing as time goes on. But I think that we really need, you know, the faith that he gives us and his grace in these last days that we're living in. It's two important things. And a wise person once said that true ministry will bring people to Christ and Christ to people. And this is my desire for my ministry, bringing people to Christ and Christ to people. I just think that's so important. So I'm just going to talk a little bit about faith and grace, just basically a lot of scriptures, and then bring in the harvest. So, faith, Romans 12:3 tells us that God has dealt to each one of us a measure of faith. And I'm always praying, Lord, increase my faith, increase my faith. I just think we need to have a strong faith and really trusting in him in these days. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. And in order to do that, we really have to rely on the Holy Spirit and on God's word. Hebrews 11:6 tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And I know we all want to please God. That's just, we need his faith. So, a couple weeks ago when Bill was out here teaching, he was teaching on authority, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said that the root word for authority is author. And he reminded me of the scripture, Hebrews 12:2, that Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. And so we have him, and I'm glad that Jesus is the author and finisher of my faith. A little bit about grace. Grace, thank you, Lord, for your grace. We need God's grace. He gives us his grace. Psalm 84:11 says that the Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. And Acts 4:33, and with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them. I have a boatload of scriptures on faith and grace, but just a few more here on grace. Romans 5:17, we receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness and will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. And Ephesians, which is an awesome book, Ephesians 1:7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And then Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you have been saved through faith. So it kind of brings it full circle. By God's grace and our faith, we were saved. So now I'm mainly going to be talking about bringing in the harvest, which has a lot to do with salvation and leading people to the Lord. Yay, thank you, Jesus. So in Matthew 9:37-38, Jesus said to his apostles, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." This is so important in these last days. We're in the last of the last days. And how many of you are looking forward to seeing Jesus come back? Yay, we can help with that. Matthew 24 speaks of the signs of the times and the end of the age. And it says in verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. So gospel means good news, and Jesus is the good news. So he's the good news that we have to just share with everyone. We have the greatest gift in the world, and we just want to share it with others. We got to share Jesus with others. Amen. So I'm going to talk a little bit about going out there in the world, out there in our world, and sharing Jesus with others. Evangelism. Go ye, the nuts and bolts of evangelism. Does anybody here know Todd White? Yeah. Can look him up on YouTube if you don't know him. He's awesome. So, you know, we went to his Power and Love conferences a few times, and he really is great at training you to just go out and pray for people and just pray for people out there. We received training. It's a pretty intense conference. It's like Wednesday night, all day Thursday, all day Friday, and all day Saturday. And you basically pray for each other, and then you have like 2-hour lunch break and a 2-hour dinner break. And while you're on those breaks, you're praying for people that are out there, you know, your waitress, you know, the cashier, just people along the way. And then we come back and we share our testimonies and some amazing, awesome testimonies. But basically, he's geared more towards healing. And that was how he got his start when he was first saved. He just went out and he just basically read the Bible and believed it like a little child. And it says, if you go out and pray for people, they will be healed. And so Todd did it. And he just prays for people everywhere he goes. When he's shopping, you know, just wherever he is, he's praying for people. And, you know, I've found that it's very easy to approach someone if you see that they have a physical injury. You know, they have a brace, or they're walking on crutches, or, you know, they have a cast on or something. You know, it's real easy to say, oh, what happened to your leg? Can I pray for you? And, you know, that just kind of opens the door. And, you know, seeing somebody with that needing healing just really can open up a conversation and start that conversation. So we saw many people healed and lots of testimonies. So, you know, when we're going out there, we minister out of love, of course. That's why we're reaching out to people through love. And people out there, I have found, really, as we've been doing this, are very receptive. They want to be loved. They want to be prayed for. And we can lead them to Jesus. They really are way more receptive than you would think if you're just out there and you just are able to talk to people. They're just very receptive. So the training that we received about, you know, regarding healing through Todd White was awesome. And then we were trained a couple of years ago from Riley Stevenson. And I don't know if you've heard of him. He's basically teaches and he's kind of under the radar out there, but he's training in evangelism. And so we pray for people and we lead them to the Lord, which is so important because really, if you're not saved, you really just don't have anything. If you're just, I mean, oh my goodness. So it's so important. And honestly, if I had to choose, which we don't, but if I had to choose between getting healed and getting saved would be it. Because, you know, we just have to have Jesus. I just cannot imagine living in this world without Jesus. And, you know, last week we had Brian speak. I don't know if any of you are here for Jeremiah 33:3 night. But Brian was an atheist, and he died and went to hell, and he wrote a book on it, and he talked about hell, and I think his book is called Hell in a Cell, and, you know, it was basically all based on lies and deception and pain, and I think really a lot of the stories that he told us weren't even as bad as the depths of hell, you know, but it was just absolutely horrible, and, you know, we just don't want to see anybody go there. Amen. So Riley taught us how to use scriptures to lead people to Jesus. And there are three basic scriptures. And if you know these scriptures, and you probably already know them, but if you know these three scriptures, you can very easily lead people to the Lord when you're out there. Because we are in the last of the last days, and people have to know Jesus. So the first one is Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Everybody out there knows they've sinned. We all know we've sinned. You know, that's kind of an easy... And that's the start of it. And then Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we've sinned, he paid for us. And then Romans 10:13, and whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So the wages of sin is death, the gift of God is eternal life, and whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that is repeated in Acts 2:21, and it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. So we all, I think, know what the time frame is for Acts chapter 2, right? That's now. So now's the time to share the gospel, and the Spirit of God is moving on the earth, and we all have the privilege of participating with him. So with Riley, we did a Friday night training at church, and Riley encouraged us to pray for people out there on the way home, and we did. So basically that night at church, we just got trained in this, and I just, you know, kind of knew those scriptures, but just memorized those three scriptures, and you know, Dave and I just decided that on the way home from church, we were just going to go out there and pray for people. And when you ask God to send you to people, he will bring them to you, and he'll send you to the right people. So I'm going to just tell you what we did. There's no basic formula for this. We didn't really have a plan other than these three scriptures. And we just went out, and we stepped out of the boat. So we had to stop and get some gas. And we stopped at the gas station. It's a little bit after 9 o'clock at night, and the whole gas station is just empty. You know, so we pull up to the pump, and I just pray, Lord, send us someone. You know, send us someone. And immediately, this white SUV pulls up right behind us. Right behind us. Now, you know how in a gas station, usually people always pull up to the front so it's easy to get out and they're not in anybody's way. He pulls up right behind us. So it was like God just brought him right to us. We didn't have to go sideways and talk to him. He was right there. So we're like, okay, there he is. You know, God brought him to us. So like I said, I didn't have a plan or anything. I went out and, you know, the weather was nice and Dave was pumping the gas. So we were just talking there. And I noticed this guy had a really nice, shiny, white SUV. And I had no idea what I was going to say, but when Dave was done pumping the gas, we both walked in his direction, and he was sitting in the car. His gas was pumping. He was sitting in the car with his head in his hands, you know, like something was wrong, and his driver's door was propped all the way open. So we just go walking over, and I'm like, hey, nice car. I like your car. So that was just what came out of my mouth. What a red-blooded American guy doesn't like to talk about their car if they have a nice car. So that was just what I said. I mean, really, I didn't have a plan, but that's what came out. And so he gets out of the car and he says, thanks, you know. And Riley doesn't tell you to do this, but I just said, you know, we're Christians and we're praying for people tonight. Do you need prayer for anything? And he says, yes, I just got a call from my wife. She was in a car accident. So we found out that she was okay. She wasn't injured or anything. But that was why he had his head in his hands. So I said, okay, great, you know, I'll pray for her. So I held his hand, and I got her name, and I prayed for her. You know, just the whole trauma of the car accident and everything, I prayed for her. And then I said, you know, can I pray with you? And he says, yes. So I just gave him the scriptures. I said, you know, God's word says that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and that the wages of sin is death, but that the gift of God is eternal life. And, you know, we know that Jesus came and he lived a perfect, sinless life and he died in our place so that we don't have to, and that we can live for him now on earth, and that we can be with him in a perfect heaven forever. And, you know, the Bible also tells us that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I said, do you want to pray to receive Jesus? And he says, yes. So, you know, God brought him to us. So God brought him to us. So I'm going to pray, and this is what I kind of just wrote a little prayer down. This might not be exactly what I said to him. But if you want, you can repeat after me just to kind of get the feel for it. And you know you've heard these prayers, but basically, he repeated after me. I said, Heavenly Father, forgive me of my sins. Thank you for sending Jesus to die in my place. I receive your gift of salvation. Please lead me and guide me as I get to know you better and as I read your word. In Jesus' precious name, amen. And then I prayed for him. I always like to pray for people. I just prayed, you know, Lord, bless him, show him what his purpose is, show him what his gifts are. Sometimes God will speak to me and tell me what people's gifts are. You know, when we did GL ministry, a lot of times God would give me words for people. And you guys are all prophetic here, so you know how to hear God's voice. And so basically, a lot of times I'll speak Acts 16:31 over him, that you and your household shall be saved. So, you know, I gave him a little practical advice, you know, get a Bible, tell your wife about this when you get with her. And he said, I will. And, you know, read the Bible, get into a good church that, you know, that reads the word. And basically he was beaming. I mean, he was beaming. I can still see the smile on his face. I mean, he went from this to just smiling from ear to ear. He was so happy. You know, he was ready to go talk to his wife and share Jesus with her. And it was just so exciting. So I thought of this. I thought of this just since last week, since we heard Brian. I said, you know, he'll never have to sit in a cell in hell with his head in his hands saying, I should have, I could have, I really wish I would have. I have a feeling that when people are in hell and when the demons aren't beating them up, they're probably beating themselves up. So, you know, for all eternity. So, you know, awesome. We went out, we prayed for one guy. He's saved. It was so simple. It took an extra 5 minutes of our time. We were already there getting gas. We didn't go out of the way. So now we're off to Walmart and we say goodbye and, you know, God bless you and everything. And it just was so awesome. So now we're off to Walmart. And I'm just going to mention that when we were back at the church earlier that day, Riley had taught us that when we share the word of God with someone, if they don't receive salvation, don't worry. God's word does not return void. And basically, he says they've gotten an inoculation. They've gotten like a shot of the word of God. And that is a seed of the scriptures that are inside of them. And so they've gotten God's word, and God's word never returns void. So basically, that's what he taught us. And so we head into Walmart, and I'm pushing the cart, and I see a display of fall decorations on the right, and I go over, and I start to look at them, and I quickly notice that Dave's not beside me anymore. So I look back, and he's talking to the greeter at the door, and he's talking to him for several minutes, and then he comes back and joins me. And I said, how did that go? And he says, the guy said, I'm a Muslim and I could never pray that prayer. And Dave says, but that's okay, because he got shot. And we're laughing because he didn't get a shot. He got shot. The way he said it, it was just so funny. He's like, that's okay, he got shot. So Dave and I are laughing about this, and God's making it fun. You know, we're laughing, we're shopping, we're going through Walmart, and we're having a good time. So we kind of walk around. We do all of our shopping. We get the items that we need. We're in the back of the store, and we're just, you know, thinking, you know, we don't want to just wander up to somebody and pray for them. But, you know, earlier in church that evening, the pastor had explained to people who might not know what a word of knowledge is, and you guys all know what a word of knowledge is, but he was explaining to people. He says, you know, God might say to you, go pray for the guy in the green hat. So Dave and I are on the main aisle. We're ready to turn the corner to go to the front of the store. And I said, hey, Dave, let's pray for God to give us a word of knowledge so we know who to pray for. And just as I'm turning the corner, Dave says, oh, yeah, green hat. And Dave's right here, and I'm looking at him. And I look, and about five aisles down, I see these two guys walking towards us, and the one guy's wearing a green baseball cap. So they're walking our way. And oh my goodness, they're headed our way, and I said, you know, it's just amazing. God will just send you people, and turn around. There they are. They're walking. They made a quick turn into the electronics section, and I say to Dave, you know, it's okay. We can use a recycled word of knowledge. You know, and we're laughing about this because God's really having fun with us. And I'm like, you know, this isn't even a recycled word of knowledge. This is just the pastor explaining to people what a word of knowledge is. And God uses that. Just, it was like he was having fun with us. And we definitely knew that we were supposed to pray for these people. And so I suppose that would have been easier than us closing our eyes and hanging onto the cart in the middle of Walmart in the aisle and saying, Lord, give us a word of knowledge. But basically, that's what he did. And so we were having a lot of fun with that, weren't we, Dave? So we're laughing. And just as we're coming around the corner, we're still kind of talking about it and we're still laughing about it. And because we're laughing, these two guys turn and look at us, and they're standing right there, and they turn and look at us because we're laughing, and I say, you know, because they're looking at us, I say, hey guys, you know, you're not going to believe this, but we're praying for people today, and we just asked God to tell us who to pray for, and he said, the guy in the green hat. And so I'm just like being honest and just saying exactly what's going on. And so, you know, we know we're supposed to pray for them. Well, these guys felt very special immediately because God had picked them out, so to speak. And so the guy that was, so we just said, hey, you know, do you need prayer for anything? And so the guy that wasn't in the green hat says, yeah, you know, I need prayer for my friend. And so we prayed for her. And then, you know, we talked to them a little bit and we just said, you know, can we pray with you? And they said, sure. So I held hands with the guy in the green hat. And then Dave held hands with the other guy and our arms were literally crossed over them. And I basically just went through the same scriptures that I had just done. And the guys both prayed to receive Jesus. And I've done this with people, and if they don't want to pray to receive Jesus, they won't. But these guys did, and they're saying the prayer, and they're meaning it, and they're you know, believing, and they're, you know, receiving Jesus. So we prayed for them and went through the same thing. And, you know, when we prayed for them that day, I prayed for them individually also, and Dave prayed for them also. And then we... I just, you know, it's so exciting. I just said, you know, guys, the angels are rejoicing right now. And that is the best decision that you'll ever make. And, you know, God's going to bless you guys. You know, we were just so excited. We were all really happy. And I just said, oh, God's going to bless you guys. And the guy in the green hat, his name is John, by the way. The guy in the green hat, he looks up at us and he just says, wow, you guys are just wonderful people. And I'm saying that just to let you know how receptive people are. But when he said that, we just kind of laughed and we're like, oh, it's just Jesus, you know, God bless you guys. So, you know, these are three people, totally receptive, you know, and we got to get out there and share the gospel because, you know, like I said, we're in the last days and it's the harvest. So we're done shopping and we're heading to the front of the store. And the lady's ringing us up, and we notice that there's a guy behind us in line, and he doesn't have any items to buy. He's just there. So we're just kind of being friendly with them, and we find out that this guy is her husband, and he's just picking her up after work. You know, the store's about to close. So we're kind of being friendly with them and talking with them, but an opportunity doesn't really arise, and she's ringing us up, and it's a little hard to, you know, talk to somebody too much when they're ringing you up and you don't want to really interfere with their work. So, but I just really had this strong feeling that we were supposed to pray for them. So Dave and I are kind of wheeling away and I'm like, oh, you know, I know we're supposed to pray for these people and we're kind of wheeling away, but we didn't say anything. And then it was just kind of a little bit awkward to turn around and go back. And so we're walking away and we have this bad feeling. It's just not a good feeling. We have this bad feeling, you know, that we're supposed to pray for them, and we just missed an opportunity. So we head out, and we're ready to turn to the exit. And have you ever been in Walmart when they're closing? They lock all the doors except for the ones at the grocery section. So we're locked in Walmart, and I said, you know, Dave, I said, it would appear that God is going to give us a second chance to go minister to these people. So, you know, literally, we're locked in Walmart. So we turn around and we go back, and we go right past their little section, and they're both looking right at us, and we're like, "Hey guys, yeah, we're back. We're locked in Walmart." And so we just went down the aisle and we said, "You know, we just feel like, you know, we're supposed to pray for you guys. Do you need prayer for anything?" And she says, "Well, yes, my brother's in the hospital, and it was something really serious." So we prayed for him for total healing. And then we just asked them if they needed prayer. And we asked them if they wanted to pray with us. And we just went through the same basic routine. And they both prayed to receive the Lord. And then the man, he looked at us and he says, you know, and again, I'm you know, sharing more than I'm sharing now. You know, get a Bible, read the Bible, you know, find a good church and everything. And the guy looks at us and he says, how did you know to come back and pray for us? It was like he knew. And I said, you know, I said, sometimes God just highlights people for us. And then he asked us what church we went to, and we told him it was kind of, I wasn't really prepared for that, with kind of hard directions to kind of get there, but we kind of told him, and then we said goodbye. So we're driving home, and we're feeling really good because we just led five people to the Lord. On our way home from church, we spent about 45 minutes. We just ran our errands like we normally would. It might have taken us 15 minutes more than it would have. And now five people are in God's kingdom. So, you know, it's just an amazing thing, and we can do it. It's not hard. And, you know, I'm just going to mention that, you know, the skeptics would say, well, that's too simple. You know, you must read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and you must make an educated decision to be saved. Well, the problem with that is people that who aren't believers, they're not reading the Bible. And, you know, really, honestly, some Christians aren't even, you know, reading, and I don't want to go there. But basically, you know, unless you're Lee Strobel and you're trying to disprove the Bible and you're doing a, you know, a project or whatever, people aren't reading their Bible. And if we don't tell them, they're not going to know. So basically, you know, it's plain and simple. And really, think back to when you were first saved and remember how much you knew when you were first saved. Think about how much we know now. So we definitely don't know it all. We didn't know it then, and we don't know it now. But I just know when I was a new Christian, all I really wanted to do was read God's word and tell people about Jesus. I mean, you know, you know what he's done for us, and you just want to get out there, and you just want to tell everyone. So love is our motivation, and God's plan of salvation is very, very simple. Man tries to complicate things sometimes with rules and regulations and 613 laws and et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, I have figured out that whenever man tries to be smarter than God, it just never works. And God's word says, call on him. It's very simple. Call on him. And does anybody here know Sid Roth? Sid Roth got saved with a two-word prayer, Jesus, help. He was heavily involved in the New Age and some other things, and he was being tormented by demons, and he just cried out, Jesus, help. Well, Jesus helped, and Sid got saved, and look at him now. So, you know, two-word prayer, it's not complicated. It's time for us to go ye and share Jesus with the people. So in case there just might be a slight possibility that somebody out there is thinking, oh, I could never do that. Well, I have a scripture for you. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And you can be mumbling that under your breath as you're going there. I can do all things through Christ. I can do all things through Christ. I can do all things through Christ. And you'd be so amazed how easy it is to talk to people. But like I said, God will direct you to the people. And if you're not thinking that, you might be thinking, well, this is, you know, this is out of my comfort zone. Well, this is out of all of our comfort zones. But I'm going to steal Todd White's little line. We can afford to be a little bit uncomfortable out there because we have Holy Spirit and he is our comforter. So, you know, I think about Jesus on the cross, you know, hanging for 6 hours. He was beaten beyond recognition, and he was hanging on the cross for 6 hours. And he went through so much because of how much he loves us. And all we have to do is tell people about him. He did the hard part. We have the easy part. All we have to do is just simply tell people about Jesus. So it's easy and it's fun sharing Jesus with the world. And I have some friends here today that came. Thanks for supporting me. And you guys have done this, right? You guys have all gone out there and prayed for people. I know you have. So it can be done. Yes. So, in case you haven't noticed, as we were talking about earlier in prayer, earlier today, but in case you haven't noticed, the devil is working overtime out there. He was working overtime in Vegas last week, and I believe the reason why he's working so hard is because he knows his time is short. And we are the army of the Lord, and we need to be keeping in step. And when I think of an army, I think of somebody who, at the very least, is doing something. And, you know, they're on a mission. They're on a mission to take down the enemy, but at the very least, they're doing something. And if we can go out there and share Jesus with people, then, you know, They're on their way to heaven, and there's more of us. We saw Todd White a few weeks ago at Red Rocks, at the Worship on the Rocks, and he was looking up at us all, and he says, "Guys, we're in our last lap. We're in our last lap." You know, salvation is so close to God's heart, and it's just so important that we get out there and share him with people. You know the book, You Can All Prophesy? We all know that book, You Can All Prophesy. I think I've got a book on the way, We Can All Evangelize. Maybe just a little book. We can all evangelize. We can do it. So God gives us revelation, and he leads us to people. And I have just a little story here that I'm going to read. And I'm going to read this so I don't miss anything. Many years ago, there was a young girl whose life was in darkness. She was distraught and very frustrated. She could not see or hear. Her name was Helen Keller. Anne Sullivan revealed the mystery of language to Helen Keller at the well. She took her to the pump and poured water onto her hands and spelled out the word water on her hands and with her fingers. Helen was so excited, and Anne taught her 30 words that very day. Helen was 7 years old. So you can imagine being an intelligent child, and you can't hear and you can't see, and you can just feel and maybe vibrations or whatever, but you know, you can't communicate with anybody. And Anne Sullivan just reached out to Helen. Years later, when Helen was older, she wanted to go to college. Anne spent much of her time helping her so that she could successfully attend and graduate from college. Anne Sullivan had a servant's heart, and she gave up much of her life for the life of another. It all started at the well, where a whole new world was opened up to Helen. This gave her a purpose and a hope. The Bible tells us of another meeting at the well. Yet another woman, without a purpose and a hope, went to the well for water. She also was in darkness and most likely distraught and frustrated. Never knowing that this would be a day that would change her life, she met a man who revealed to her the mysteries of eternal life. Wow, this water from the well would quench her thirst temporarily, but he offered her water which would make her well forever. This man was also a servant who came to give of himself to others and eventually laid down his life so that we could drink of this living water which came not from the well. Two lives changed completely at the well. Because of this divine meeting, many other countless lives were changed also. If Helen Keller had never learned to read or write, we may have never heard of her. If Jesus had not gone to meet the woman at the well, her entire city may have missed his wonderful gift of salvation. So this whole story is in John chapter 4, and it's a long story, and it's an awesome story, but I highly recommend that you read it. I mean, Jesus is talking to her about worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth, and she's talking to him, and she says, "I know Messiah is coming, and when he comes, he will tell us all things." And Jesus looks at her and says, "I who speak to you am he." I mean, I just melt when I think about that. You know, when the kids were little, we used to role play, you know, Bible stories. And of course, they would get to be Jesus and I would have to be the woman at the well. I'm the girl. But basically, you know, when you come to that part, it's like she's hungry. She's thirsty. That's why Jesus went there. She was talking about Messiah. She was talking about worship. And she was waiting for Jesus to come. And here he says, "I who speak to you am he." I mean, it's just an amazing chapter to read, and it's just awesome. And it says that the Samaritan woman left her water pot and went into the city. It's like, who needs water when you have Jesus? She just left her water, went to the city, told everyone, and I know they asked Jesus to stay there, and he stayed on a couple of days, and it was like the entire city got saved. So just an amazing, that was an amazing divine meeting. So I'm going to talk about Jesus sending his apostles out in Luke chapter 10. It says the Lord appointed 70 and sent them two by two. And that's a good plan, two by two. It's nice to go out two by two and pray for people. If you're going out as a family, I know you guys, if you have a little kid and you're out there shopping. But if you just go out two by two, you can do it by yourself too, but it's a good plan. So he sent them out two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. So he's there with you. He was about to go there. And then he said, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." So, you know, I'm a gardener. I'm not a farmer. But, you know, if I'm a farmer and I have 100 acres or whatever, I'm going to make sure that the workers are planting at the right time and watering and weeding. And most importantly of all, getting that harvest in. If you don't get the harvest in, you've lost the whole summer. It's all gone. So, you know, if I'm planting the garden and I have a bad year or bad crop, or, you know, even if I'm a farmer and I have a bad crop, I can say, well, there's always next year. But Jesus, his crop is ongoing. His harvest is ongoing because there's always people living and always people dying, but we are in the harvest right now because we're in the last days. And this is his harvest. That is what jumped off the page at me when I read this just last week. But it says the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. It's not our harvest, it's his harvest. And this is not just crops, this is souls. And Jesus paid for this harvest with his blood. And if he only has a few people that are willing to go out there and do that and be his laborers, you better believe he's going to be involved in his harvest. He will. If you ask him who to pray for, he will tell you because it's his harvest. He won't. He will not take anything for granted. He'll leave you out. He'll lead you out there and he will totally be with you. I mean, he told us just exactly who to pray for, and we prayed for them. And if you pray for somebody just randomly and they don't get saved, they've got the word of God in them as a seed. So he will be out there with us as we work in the fields to bring in his harvest. And I'm going to pray for us today. I believe that, you know, I talked to John about this a few weeks ago, and, you know, we can pray for people as we're out there. When we go home today, I mean, I know we're going to be staying for some food, but we can go stop somewhere today on our way home and just pray for someone out there. You know, whether we have to get gas or groceries or whatever, you know, we can do this. So I'm going to pray and then give you a few more scriptures here. But Father, I just lift up all of us right now. Give us boldness. Give us boldness to go out and lead people into your kingdom. Give us love and compassion, Father, for your people. I pray that you give us divine appointments, and I pray that you give us words of knowledge. Speak to us right now, Lord. Give us words of knowledge right now. Are we supposed to pray with somebody who's, you know, in a blue shirt or a yellow dress or a camo or whatever they're wearing, Lord? Just tell us who they are and lead us. Give us words of knowledge right now. Thank you, Father. Tell us who we should reach out to as we share your word with Jesus and the people, and give us your courage. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We can all do this. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, so is there anybody out there who wants more of God's wisdom? Does anybody want to be wise? Well, one of my favorite scriptures is Proverbs 11:30. It says, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise." So God spoke to me, a few weeks ago, and he told me to go out and buy a tree. So I went to Hobby Lobby, and I should probably have somebody come up here and hold this. You want to hold the tree, Kirsten? Thanks. I only have two hands. Thanks. So anyways, I went out and bought this tree, and John was saying we can hang it in here somewhere. This is going to be Living Words, Tree of Life. And I bought some leaves. And what we can do is we can pray for people and hang the leaves on the tree. And I just went out last night and I got these little stickers. So we can put the names of people, just their first names, on the back of this and on the back of the leaf. and then just hang the leaf on the tree. And I noticed when I bought the bag that there are 300 leaves in here. But don't worry. I prayed and I said, God, give us 300 souls. We can do this. And I've given you guys a head start because I've got the five names of the people that we prayed for that day. I never did get the name of the guy at the gas station because I just asked him his wife's name. And then, you know, I just wrote gas station guy on here, but God knows who he is. And then we can hang these leaves up. And then when we're walking through here, we can just send a blessing their way. You know, God bless these people. Bless them in their walk. Guide them. Lead them. You know, just send a blessing their way. So basically, you know, I had talked to John earlier also, and he was saying that we can come up and share our testimonials. So next week, come up and we can share some stories. And just, it's exciting when you hear about leading people to the Lord, and it'll just get us all, you know, fired up. So hopefully I've gotten you guys a little bit fired up today, gotten myself a little bit fired up. But just, we can just go out there and pray for people, and happy harvest. Thank you.